Welcome to Training on Demand at Friendship Grace Brethren Church, where our motto is learning and living God's Word. Here, we are dedicated to empowering believers and fostering a deeper understanding of the Bible. Our on-demand training sessions offer a flexible and comprehensive approach to spiritual growth, tailored to fit your schedule and needs. Join us on this enriching journey to strengthen your faith and live out God's teachings in your everyday life. Whether you're exploring the scriptures for the first time or seeking to deepen your knowledge, our resources are designed to inspire and guide you. Let's discover the transformative power of God's Word together.
The title of my message this morning is Truth, Love, and Leadership in the Church. We're going to cover the entire book of 3 John this morning. Smallest book in the Bible, and we determined in our study of 1 and 2 John that the author of these books is the Apostle John, one of the inner circle of Jesus' friends and disciples. Gospel of John, where we're going to go, Lord willing, beginning next week. In 1 John, John wrote about abiding in God, being at home with God. He wrote to counter the false teaching of the divinity and humanity of Jesus. In 2 John, he also wrote to counter the false teaching of the Gnostics and the Docetists. John also focused on love in both books, love for God and love for our brethren. Now here in 3 John, he focuses on continuing to walk in the truth, being hospitable to others, and confronting prideful and abusive leadership. Let's see what we can find here in the book 3 John. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. As we saw in 2 John, John identifies himself as the elder. Whether this is a reference to his position or his age, we don't really know, but it clearly describes both clearly describe the Apostle John. He is the last of the apostles, some 60 years after others had gone to be with Jesus, almost 100 years old at this point. He's both the elder in age and the elder in position. 3 John is addressed to Gaius. But who's that? We know from 3 John that Gaius is a member of the church John oversees. He walks in the truth, meaning he follows the pistis, the doctrine, what we understand God to have told us, the doctrine of the church. He's also demonstrated an exceptional hospitality. He worked in opposition. He worked against the opposition to the church and stood firm in his doctrine. There are several men named Gaius in the New Testament, in Corinth, in Macedonia, and Derbe, but there's no evidence that this Gaius is the same one referred to in these other passages. We just don't know. So all we know is that John writes to a man named Gaius. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. John uses the word agapete, which is a form of the word agape, love. This form of the word pertains to the one who is loved. It is a reference to an individual who is loved. John is telling Gaius that he's loved by John with a tender Christian love. John's prayer for Gaius is that all will go well for him and that he would be in good health. I think this verse kind of indicates that John was concerned for Gaius' physical health and that he remained close spiritually to God and to John. John was demonstrating true pastoral care for Gaius. For I rejoice greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I called this verse an emotion of pastoral pride. We most often think of pride as in the negative, that's something we shouldn't do. But John was invested in Gaius And he had a sense of pride in watching him continue to develop in following the Lord, standing tall, standing firm for the doctrine that he had been taught. John learned from others in the church how Gaius was doing. We don't know who these others were. We just know that they reported to John about what was going on with Gaius. There's some indication that these men had received hospitality from Gaius. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. John told Gaius that there's no greater joy for a pastor than to hear that his children in the faith are truly following Jesus. I get what John is saying there. There's a sense of spiritual pride in seeing your children, your spiritual children, follow God and do what God said, especially in the tough times of the late first century. It was still illegal to be a Christian. Be another 100, 250 years before the church would be recognized in the Roman Empire. If they were Jews, Israel had already fallen, been collapsed and destroyed by Rome. And so being a Christian was something difficult. And John was proud of how Gaius, one of his disciples, one of his children, was doing. I think these opening verses describe what John was feeling, what he was sensing, and he was describing what walking in the truth really looks like. Someone who is dedicated to the truth, walks with Jesus and cares for others. That's the picture of what John wanted to see his church members do. That's what Jesus was talking about, that our actions reveal our relationship with him. John now moves on to talk more specifically about one of those actions, hospitality. Beloved, it's a faithful thing that you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testified to your love before the church. You do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. The historical context is that there was no Hilton or Motel 6s for travelers to stay in. The early church had many itinerant preachers, people that would go from place to place to bring the teaching of the apostles. They had to rely on the hospitality of the church and its members for places to stay. Gaius was faithful to the commands of Jesus and provided at his own expense hospitality for these traveling men in the church. These men reported to John, the church that provided hospitality for them. These men testified to the church that he demonstrated true Christian love for these men. As a young kid, I remember all sorts of group that would come to our church for concerts and fundraising. Most often, many of them would stay in our home. I got to meet all sorts of people, from Navajo Indians to men who would go on to lead large ministries that went worldwide. We had a man in our home who ended up having a ministry to Hollywood and saw a number of people in Hollywood in the 60s and 70s come to know the Lord. My mom and dad opened up their home to a Bible study of young people that my Uncle Bernie led. These people were mostly recovering hippies and young people of the time. Many went on to be leaders in various churches and mission groups and ministries. One went on to found and lead one of the largest ministry groups for students in the United States. Just a few weeks ago, retired from leading that ministry. Thousands, probably hundreds of thousands of young people came to know the Lord through his ministry. My mom and dad modeled what John is praising Gaius for, Christian hospitality. Their home was always open to people, sleeping on the floor or wherever. John talked about the same thing in 2 John, when walking with Jesus is doing what he said, and what he said that we are to love one another. John also told Gaius that he would do well to send these men in their ministry in a manner worthy of God. You would do well is kind of a Aramaic idiomatic way of saying please. John was saying to Gaius, please send them along on their way, what they're prepared to do. Help them get to where they need to go. In a manner worthy of God means in the same way God is generous with us. Send them on their way like God, with the generosity that God gave to you. When we share with others, when we're hospitable with others, we're emulating God's character and His nature. We reflect God when we are generous. We reflect God in our generosity. For they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. I looked at this verse and I go, oh, what's John talking about here? It's appropriate to share generosity with these men because they have gone out in the name of Jesus, ministering to the church. They're following Jesus. They're doing what Jesus said. The second phrase of the verse has caused some interpretive issues, I think. I think the best way to interpret the phrase is these men wanted to serve God and not take anything from those who don't serve God. Our English translations have Gentiles, but we probably should read them like pagan. They're not taking pagan money to serve the church. They're sticking to what God is providing for them. There was some conflict in the early church as some itinerant preachers received support from those who remained pagans, and not just from the church, but from people all around, people that were trying to get their hooks in them, and so they gave them money. But these men were specifically opposed taking money from anyone outside of the church. These men were authentic followers of Jesus, teaching a doctrine that was consistent with what Jesus had taught. They remained loyal to Jesus and only sought support from those who followed Jesus. The ministry was truly to the church and for the church by the church. Therefore, we ought to support people like these that we may be fellow workers for the truth. Remember the word ought? You owe it to them. John says, we owe it to them to support them. To support them since they're faithful to Jesus and to His doctrine. The only way for the church to truly be following Jesus is to support those who lead and teach in it. The only support the church should receive is from the people of the church. That's the way God designed the system. John now changes direction again in this short little letter. Excuse me, just one. He changes directions now just a little bit. I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. It seems like Gaius and Diotrephes were members of the same church, probably the same meeting location. It was common in the first century church to have one church in a city that met in multiple locations because it was difficult to gather a large group together for fear of the Roman soldiers. So they had one church meeting in many homes, an early campus ministry, if you will. What is clear is that Gaius and Diotrephes knew each other. Third John being addressed to Gaius seems to indicate that Gaius was not aware of the letter John had previously written to the church. Apparently, Diotrephes blocked the letter from John to the church. John addresses that here. John states that Diotrephes wanted nothing to do with John and did not want to submit to John's authority. Here is a guy leading a church or teaching in a church that was rejecting the last standing apostle. John was the last standing apostle. All the rest were long dead. Most of them by 60 years or so. John alone walked with Jesus and was his friend. John was also the last of the foundation of the church with Jesus. Jesus and the apostles constitute the foundation of the church. His word carried a great deal of weight in the early church, and Diotrephes said, no. I'm not going to submit to his authority. Submitting prevents Diotrephes from teaching the false doctrine he wanted to teach. John says, so if I come, I'll bring up what he's doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. And not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers and also stops those who want to and puts them out of the church. John was going to deal with the false teacher in person. Remember, John is almost 100 years old. He's nearing the end of his life. It's been a rough life. But it was important for him to address these issues head on. Man, I've got it bad today. It was important for John to face him, to face Diotrephes, and rebuke him personally. John categorized what Diotrephes was saying as wicked nonsense, malicious gossip, false charges, using evil words. Not only that, but he refuses to welcome those good itinerant preachers that Gaius had welcomed. Those preachers who were preaching the truth of the gospel, good doctrine to the church. Diotrephes didn't want people around teaching proper doctrine, because then they would know his doctrine's not. Those who teach false doctrine never want to be confronted with the truth. They want to stay far away from the truth. They will always fight against it. They will do whatever they can to avoid being confronted by the church, by the church knowing the truth, including throwing people out of the church, as Diotrephes did. Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. The conduct of Diotrephes was evil and teaching evil. And John was warning Gaius to not emulate him. Don't follow the examples of false teachers. Don't act like Joel Osteen. Don't say what Joel says. In the modern context, the warning is for us not to follow the false teachers that are all around us. Those who teach a prosperity doctrine, or who teach that there are multiple ways to heaven and to eternal life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So anybody who teaches anything different is a false doctrine. Stay away from them. Don't emulate them. All sorts of bad doctrine is out there. We should not emulate any of that. We shouldn't listen to any of that. They are, as John says, evil. Anything that's in conflict with what God has said in Scripture or through the words of Jesus is evil and is not from God. That includes the methods or doctrines that Satan uses to attract people to his ideas and his processes, even those that look like they may be from God. If they look like they are from God, but they are opposite to what God has said, they are evil. John then changes direction again a little. He begins to talk about some support or help that Gaius could use. Verse 12. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone. different from Diotrephes, this is Demetrius, and from the truth itself. We also had our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. John was probably encouraging Gaius to extend hospitality to Demetrius. Demetrius had built a good testimony from everyone. He worked with God. He followed God. He worked within the confines of the doctrine the apostles had established with Jesus. John is personally vouching for him. That would look good on your CV statement, wouldn't it? John, the apostle that Jesus loved, says, I'm a good guy. Says that I'm speaking the truth. Put that right at the top of your resume. John knows he's honest, knows he's true. And he is supporting Demetrius to give him some support. Demetrius stands for the truth of the gospel and is a model of truth of the doctrine, of doctrine. But then John pivots again. Verse 13 and 14. I have much to write to you, but I'd rather not write with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon and we'll talk to you face to face. John ends 3 John the way he ends 2 John. He has a whole bunch more that he wants to say, but he wants to do it in person. He wants to deal with the issue of the false teachers and the opposition to the gospel, opposition to the truth of what God has said in person. He wants to confront them face to face. And he hopes it will be soon. The reality is that what we use to set our course determines our course. If we're focused on our own pride and arrogance, our self-reliance, our course will be destruction. John calls it evil. But Gaius was a man focused on the truth of the doctrine and the true proper following of Jesus. We have to be focused on proper doctrine given to us by Jesus and taught by the apostles to be assured of proper doctrine, of a proper destination. You have to take your compass and make sure it's properly adjusted. We do that by following God, by listening to what God said, by studying His Word. You have to know on what you're focused. You have to know the truth of the doctrine and not be swayed by false doctrine. You have to always know the truth of what God has said by learning and living God's Word. Genesis to maps, it's all important. It's all used to develop within us a proper alignment of our compass. It's really critical that our compass is aligned with God and not the evil of the world around us. The Holman New Testament commentary closes their commentary on 3 John with this story, and just is a perfect way to summarize this book. Quote, when we set our navigational course according to pride, we're setting ourselves up for destruction. The truth is illustrated by the captain of a ship who looked ahead and saw a light in the distance. He told a signalman to send a message to the other vessel to alter course 10 degrees south. But a message was relayed back to the captain to alter his course 10 degrees north. The captain was angered. He sent another message saying, alter your course 10 degrees south. I am the captain. Soon a message came back, and alter your course 10 degrees north. I am Seaman Third Class Jones. Immediately the captain sent a third message, mustering all the authority of his command, alter your course 10 degrees south. I am a battleship. The message came back, alter your course 10 degrees north. I am a lighthouse. If the captain had remained on course, he would have destroyed himself, his ship, all aboard, and the lighthouse. When we refuse to alter course of pride, we risk destroying ourselves and others. The Apostle John warned Diotrephes to change his course. Diotrephes refused. He risked destruction by his rebellious action. He would do well to learn, or we would do well to learn from him, to live our lives as servants, showing love and hospitality toward others. That's from the Holman New Testament commentary on 3 John. In 3 John, the apostle reminded us that hospitality in the church is critically important. The church can't survive without hospitality of its members. He also reminded us that those who serve the Lord in a professional capacity are dependent upon the church for support. Pride in our own abilities and lack of trust in God are sins that often lead to destruction. We need to be hospitable to others in the church and in a way that supports the church. Always be mindful of your own pride and how it affects everything that you do in every relationship that you have. Our pride affects everything we do. 3 John closes with trust in God, not in yourself. Father, remind us how to do that. Remind us how to trust in you, not in ourselves. How to always follow you, how to depend on your word, how to depend on what you've said. How to be obedient. How to look toward you for everything. Thank you, Father. Take care of our members who are ailing today. Watch over them. Those that are traveling, those that are at home, just watch over them and protect them. Thank you, Father, for all the blessings that you give us. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Teaching on Demand from Friendship Grace Brethren Church. We pray that today's message has aided you in learning and living God's Word. We warmly invite you to join us for worship at Friendship Grace Brethren Church, located at 6865 Eagle Street, Fort Myers, Florida. Come and experience the fellowship, worship, and teaching that make our community special. We look forward to seeing you there.